Hello, friends. On today's show, cave floors, forest bathing, cute snakes, and a hero armed with milk and beer. Oh, and I got a frosty beverage. Jessica, please give us the intro.
We all need that one friend, don't we? The one that, no matter how crazy things get around us, always has some good news to share. Hey, what if you had two friends like that? That's twice the good times. On the rocks, not for long, because everything sounds better when you're two beers in. Now, here are your hosts, Brett Weaver and Monica Ballard.
Sure.
They all got hooked on Crack and Die.
I thought that was what's her name? Emily Dickinson lyrics to the
Emily Dickinson.
Yes. Sorry. Emily Dickinson, not to be confused with Emily Dickinson,
which is a porn character.
Yes,
right?
It is a porn character. But Emily Dickinson, you know, where you can put all of her poems to Gilligan's Island.
Yes. Yeah. It's like that. And they all got hooked on crack and died.
That being said,
come
you're
on,
listening to Two Beers In.
Come on, kids. Gather around.
Your favorite.
Everybody.
Your favorite Emily Dickinson channel, where all we do is talk about Emily Dickinson and also her son. I'm your host, Brett Weaver. I am enjoying a
coconut
frozen drink. That is called a coconut mojito.
Yes. Hey, I'm Monica Ballard. I'm also enjoying a coconut mojito, but I just started mine. You're well into yours.
Yes, it's a pretty large drink.
And I most recently saw it on the list.
Oh, there we go.
Which reminded me of, which is how I could tell you what you were drinking.
Thank you.
Hey!
And look, there's Doug right over there.
I don't know these people. I'm drinking a Little Red Corvette, which appears to be somewhat halfway between a hurricane and a mojito.
Oh, that's all good. And surprisingly, we're at a different place because
what?
This is not the
you
thing.
You can tell by the drinks.
We are at Busty's, the coolest drinks in town at 6214 Cameron Road in Austin, Texas.
I've noticed that, you know, this being our first time at Busty's, you put us right in front of... The Busties.
The Busties.
The Busty Girls on the wall right next to
them. We are at an overhang area that's built for smokers. There are no smokers here.
No,
instead, they put podcasters out here.
You can tell they smoked out here, though.
Yeah, that's absolutely true.
But
it doesn't have the atmosphere of failure, just slightly outside.
There's also a sign that says honk for service, but there's nothing to honk with.
Here's the thing. This used to be a Franz Hamburgers.
Oh, okay.
Which is a local place there that was connected to Dan's Hamburgers.
Okay.
That is still a local place. Franz is gone.
Yes.
It's only Dan's now.
Not so confusing at all with the rhyming.
No.
So the Sonic next door probably drove him out of business.
That's exactly what it is. No, Fran passed away, and that's what happened.
What did Sonic do to her?
Well, you know,
what did
they
Dan
said,
do to her?
Yeah, they divorced.
So
that's a whole different thing.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's a whole story. I could tell it all.
Yep.
I will say that for cheap hamburgers, Dan's is my favorite. Dan's, and when
Dan's
it was Fran's, when Fran's was around, Fran's was my favorite. They both did the same thing.
Yeah, Dan's is a good hamburger.
Yeah.
It really is.
Yeah.
We had a Dan's in Hutto.
Do you now?
Don't we?
I know.
We have a Top Notch.
You have a Top Notch.
We have a Top Notch.
Which is okay.
Those
burgers
look similar.
They're pretty good burgers, but that was not the Top Notch that was featured in Dazed and Confused.
Uh-huh.
The Top Notch off
Burnett
Road, which is by my house, is the one that was.
Yeah, because that one looks like an old-style 50s diner.
Because probably is.
Because it most likely was.
Most likely was.
We're going to tell you some stories today, and I'm going to start with something that's not on the list right now.
Uh-oh.
No, it's all good news. A good bit of old news. So back in 2008, I recorded a show called Gurren Lagann. I played this character named Kamina. So Monica goes, well, of course, I know everything about anime.
This just sounds so made up.
He's just making stuff up.
It does sound. Here's the thing. Before we could get through the 24 episodes of the show, the contract or the with the anime, the Japanese animators, they decided to move to California or move the contract to California. So before we could even get the first five episodes, well, the DVDs were created. It was ready to go, but it was literally the week before they hit the stores. They went to California.
Okay.
So they took the whole license with them, and they had someone else record it.
Huh.
People who I actually know. These are all people. I had the opportunity to play the character there, but then because they wouldn't pay for my flight, I was like, well, I'm not going to go to California
to lose money.
Yeah. And so they got someone else.
But the fame, Brett. The fame.
Spec.
The convention.
There's a spec.
Wait, are you the Brett Weaver?
I am that Brett Weaver. So I didn't do it. And, of course, it was one of my disappointments in my life because this was a great character that I got to play. The funny thing is, it's pretty much episode six, my character is dead. But...
So you recorded all your lines anyway and still didn't get to use it.
That's right.
Nice.
So... I saw little bits of it over the years, but I was at a convention once, and a kid came up with a copy of the DVD.
Wow!
And said, "Will you please sign it?" And I was like, "I will buy that from you." And he said, "No." And I said to the other person that was playing the lead, "Hit him on the head, and I'll take the." And he's like, "We can't do that." And I was like, "Yeah, you're right." So I ended up, I didn't get to see it. On YouTube, there's some little bits of it. And with me voicing it, that's around. Kyle Hebert, I love the guy. I still think I did a better version of the character. So never got to see it until today, where my friend Tiffany Grant, who played this other character in the show, she got access. Which is funny because the director was her husband. So I go, why didn't I ask you this
That's
before?
Access.
Yeah. So you know what she had to do to get that access?
Yeah, I know.
Here's some photos.
So 18 years later, I now have all the episodes of my recording.
Oh.
So I've got them now. So I'm saying this to you, audience member. If you're listening to this and you would want to watch these... All you have to do is go to patreon.com/2beersin, where you too can become a subscriber. I'm doing it early.
Yeah.
Subscriber. Because I will send you a link to those if you want to watch them. They're very good. It is very good. I the things that I remember recording, I watched one episode, the first episode today, and I was like, I was funny and this is good. I remember those because I had a few asides that I threw in that they kept in because they worked better. So I'm very excited about that. And that's my good news.
See, here I thought you were telling me that they were going to remake the series and you were cast. And
he didn't get any money, but he gets to see his performance.
Exactly.
Which is much better.
Well, I got paid. I got paid for the thing. But, the extra part of it. And this was a very well-known animation studio who originally did it. Same ones who did Evangelion did this one as well. And it looks great. It's really funny.
Did the studio that recorded you get paid back for the license being pulled?
No.
So they just ate it?
Yes.
Sucks to be them.
Oh, there's a whole story to that. That, you know, for years everybody's like, well, this company did a bad job. It's like, nope, that's not what happened.
That is so weird because I've never heard the entertainment industry having things like that.
Yeah, doing a thing where they screw over another company.
Yeah, what?
No.
No.
No, but we're here to talk about positive stories.
Is it subtitled?
No.
Oh.
Well, no, if he dubbed. Did voices, then probably not.
Okay.
I mean, sure, well, I'm sure okay. somewhere there is a subtitle of it. But in the one that I recorded into English, that's there's right. not subtitles. I know you probably, she Monica, only I know that you need subtitles.
She yeah. only watches anime in the original German.
Exactly. That's right. That's exactly.
I can't believe Gustav said that.
Wow. I don't think that was the proper way to say that. Well, actually, so there we go. We've got four other topics that we can talk about today.
All right.
So we'll just go ahead and start talking about them.
Sure.
Researchers identify grooves and indents in cave floor as world's oldest 3D map.
Groovy.
It was done by those two people who are different types of humans.
Yeah, that's together. What it was. They worked all together back. And then ate each other.
It turns out.
In a proud moment for our heritage, researchers have found evidence that Stone Age humans carved a map of their territory into the floor of a cave located in modern France. Those Frenchies, I tell you. Chipping away to create indentations for basins, these pioneering cartographers then cut grooves in the cave floor to represent rivers and gullies, all which accurately depict a low-lying river system in the Isonne department,
of the
Lys de France region. So before this discovery, the oldest known 3D map was understood to be a large portable rock slab engraved by the people of the Bronze Age around 3,000 years ago. Identified as the Sigonel III rock shelter, originally found in 1980s, this 3D map, this one, could be 13,000 years old if it corresponds to other activities in the cage. The cave.
It's pretty smart. They probably had locations of where they gathered the best food.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That'd be my guess.
This completely new discovery. Oh, wait. Let me do it the right way. This completely new discovery offers a better understanding of insight into the capacity of these early humans. Dr. Medard Thierry from Mines, Paris. The PCL Center of Geosciences told University of Adelaide Press whose researchers contributed to the discovery.
And to our three French listeners, we're really sorry to see you go, yeah. but we understand.
You know, that's nobody cares. They all think... Well, he sounds more Quebecois, but we are okay with
we
that.
Don't even
and then the Quebecois were like, fuck you. You do not know. And then.
We all sound like Marie Chevalier.
Yeah, that's right. And they're like, that's the one. When you did the laugh like that.
3D maps. They tell us where their fishing spots are.
So here's where it gets funny. This is where it starts to get funny. So. This is a well-known, Sigonel III is well-known for containing the artistic engraving of two female horses on either side of another depiction of an equine sex organ.
Okay.
Rainwater infiltration into the cave causes it to spill out onto the cave floor through what is perceived as a vulva.
Okay, so this was a 3D art installation that's 13,000 years old.
Again... These are the French, even back then. Right, yes. They're like, what? It's like, what? It's all part of our life.
What are you doing?
So now
no,
we know.
No, when it, wait until it rains.
You're going to love it.
Hugh Hefner's great grandfather was so
Why
proud.
Does it have to be a horse?
Shh.
It's my kink. That's my kink.
So once the water reaches the floor, after you see, now there's just...
It's getting worse?
Yep. After a few meters, it begins to run through a series of sharp grooves and around little humps protruding from the floor. The research team revisiting the cave after initial research in 2017 believed concretely that the grooves and humps are a model of the surrounding ecosystem that are connected to the horse carving. So they're like... There aren't actually horse vulvas that at the top of the ridge there. We were just thought we would be artistic.
We wanted funding.
Yes.
It worked.
They went to the Horse Volva.
Absolutely. The Institute University of Horse Volvas.
And said, hey, give us a grant. And they said, what can you do? And they went, oh.
Yeah.
Wait until you see.
So Mines continues. I'm going to skip
over.
Or
the water.
They really go into detail about all this. It's like, we don't need to go through all of that. But Mines continues. Milnes. Look at that. They changed it.
Oh, halfway through.
Yep.
They sure did.
These are exceptional findings and clearly show the mental capacity, imagination, and perviness of our distant ancestors.
I feel like one of those words was not
in there. Not in there. The fittings probably have a much deeper mythical meaning related to water. These hydraulic installations, that of the sexual figuration, and that of the miniature landscape, are 2 of 3 meters from each other and are sure to relay a profound meaning of the conception of life and nature, which will never be accessible to us.
Wow. That's a lot to take in.
That was quite a wild ride, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
You thought, okay, a 3D map. But what is it about? Oh.
Yeah.
Or it could just be erotic art.
Yes. they like them horses. You'd think it'd be sheep if it was in Scotland.
It's like the wives walked in and said, what are you doing?
Nothing.
We're trying to remember where the fishing hole is.
Our fishing hole. I don't know.
It looks like a different kind of hole.
You know, that looks like.
No, honey, how do you get that kind of mindset? What? No.
Very funny. Next topic. Let's talk about forest bathing, shall we?
All right, it's a little brisk, now? But okay.
We bathe forests. If we would have bathed forests,
we would have had less forest
California.
Fires. No, right.
Would still be
would
there?
Still, yep. Yeah.
That's
raking
what I'm saying.
Hell. No, we should have been bathing them.
Yes. For many people, a walk in the forest has long been seen as relaxing and rejuvenating, an escape from daily stresses. There's growing medical evidence that immersing oneself in a forest environment can significantly have significant physical and mental health benefits.
Okay, I've heard this medicinal forest thing before.
Sure.
And how it's going to be healthy for you. But the cops still put you away for it, right?
Yeah, they do. They do. Go hug a tree, Doug. Go hug a tree right now. Do it right now. According to the Global Wellness Institute, well known.
Sure. It's like the American Egg Board.
Yep. GWI. Forest therapy or forest bathing broadly means taking in through all of one's senses the forest atmosphere. It's not simply a walk in the woods, but a conscious and contemplative practice of being immersed in the sights, sounds, and smells of a forest. It's focused on a slowing down and appreciating all of life, life's aspects of the environment. So this is based off the Japanese practice of Shinryoku. Of course you know.
Of course.
Shinryoku.
I love his bondage.
Yep. which translates to forest bathing, developed in the 1980s to promote physical and mental health.
And I'm guessing this lasts until you swallow your first bug.
Yes, that's right. Or what if you have a pine allergy?
Right, exactly.
Suddenly.
Turns out I'm allergic to everything here. I'm going to die.
Right. Now I have Lyme disease.
There's a whole thing of talking about it. Honestly, when I read this bit, the first thing I go, well, yeah. Getting grounded, going back to nature. But it's not just taking a walk in the woods. It's like, all of this is kind of integrated into other things, which is get off your phone, take the earbuds out.
So this is a touch grass article.
Very much.
Okay.
But they've got some evidence that shows that this actually works.
Okay.
Why are you doing that? Why are you looking that way?
I don't. They attached electrodes to people who are out in the forest. How does
they tested them
work?
To see if they're? You know, I'm sure that they had. Do yes. you need for me to go through the
There's
whole
good,
article?
There's going to be a shock collar on you if you do not appreciate that tree. It's going to go bad for you.
Studies.
Go ahead, Monica.
Have associated nature walks with improvements in mood. A study from researchers at the University of Michigan looked at the effects of walk in the woods on people with depression.
Doug.
The researcher concluded that interacting with nature may be useful clinically as a supplement to existing treatments for major depression.
Yeah, Doug.
Forest therapy also has been known to show potential in helping to recover from trauma.
Doug.
I don't care anymore.
PTSD.
I am not going on your snipe hunt. I don't care how many articles
you're going on.
Damn
a fucking snipe hunt.
I'm not going.
That was where we were going with
Damn
this.
It.
We're going on a snipe hunt this weekend.
I'm not going on your snipe hunt.
We're bringing Merlot.
Right. You're going to enjoy it.
And the cat came back the very next day.
I am not drinking Merlot.
Going to enjoy it.
And so this is the basic steps of what you should do if you Doug won't do this.
Leave Monica, the front door.
Monica, when you and I go do this.
Yes, when we go to McKinney Falls.
Yes. Or McKinney Ruffs.
Or McKinney Ruffs, yeah.
Either one is good. Mm-hmm. We should silence our phone.
Damn it.
Yeah. Respect nature. Damn it. Walk slowly and mindfully. Okay, that's good. We're okay with that. Focus on your multiple senses one at a time. Most of mine will be gas.
And that was the end of the forest.
Yeah, that's
what was
right.
That? Was that methane?
Yep. Good use of your senses, Monica. My hearing too, Brett. My hearing too. Find a safe and comfortable spot that draws your attention. Invite a sense of solitude. So then we'll have to split up at one point.
Yes.
Listen to your heart in the present moment. Take time for self-reflection or group reflection, okay, on your overall journey through the forest. In addition, forest bathing can be done in any season, with changing seasons offering different sights and experiences.
And eat a bug.
So we could go to 7 Acre Schwood. That would be the other thing to do.
Yeah.
And I like take to a walk around there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's nice. You just go. And for many times that I have gone into nature, that was something that I would do. So when I went to Alaska and went out to, what's the mountain? McKinley. But
McKinley.
It's not McKinley anymore.
Well, it might
no,
be
No, it
McKinley
might be McKinley again.
Again, okay. But that was something that I made a point to do, is we would go and I would stop and I would just sit and don't have any earbuds, nothing on, and just look. Go and look. That Colorado, I did that too. What are you doing? I'm just looking. I'm going out and looking, because this is something I may never come back to, and I need to take the time to appreciate that this is here.
I did the same thing in Colorado, but as I was skiing in and around, it wasn't Vail. It was Beaver Creek area.
Okay.
And I paused because the snow had stopped, and it was so silent. And then I looked down and I thought, are those puma prints or mountain lion? Yeah, I better get on back. Mm-hmm, and
turns out it wasn't pumas, it was Nikes.
Yeah, nice. It was Adidas. There were Germans there. So forest therapy may be just the needed antidote to too much screen time. And stress in everyday lives, with very little cost, effort, or side effects besides having to travel to a forest somewhere.
And allergies to everything in the forest.
Allergies, yep. And the pumas. And
I never caught one single snipe.
Yeah, that's right. Doug's mad about the whole snipe thing.
Apparently he's been burned.
Yeah, more than once.
Burned on a snipe hunt.
You went back town for beer? 3 months ago? I'm just getting back.
Yeah. Dad.
I didn't even know you smoked.
Dad, why are you going
here? I don't. I like that topic.
Yes. We should plan something.
Why don't you do the next one?
Okay. Why the year of the snake is constricting.
Ha ha!
Festive Lunar New Year decoration sales.
I hate it so much.
In British Columbia. So the reason that they focus on British Columbia is from the Canadian Broadcasting Company.
Sure.
But nobody in the U.S. seemed focus on talking about the Lunar New Year.
Which was yesterday.
Chinese New Year.
For some reason, they didn't talk about it yesterday.
I don't know. I got to play Snake on Google.
do we want to know about that? Yeah, they were celebrating
in the little Google Doodle.
Snake!
With the Year of the Snake dawning as of yesterday, Liang and other decoration vendors say sales have slithered downward.
Oh, boy.
There are going to be a lot of these.
Oh, boy.
Many people think snakes look scary, she explained in Mandarin. That was my Mandarin.
As one swallowed.
Is that your Mandarin accent?
Mandarin.
Very good.
Yes.
Very good.
It was
Keep
very
going.
Orangey. Lunar New Year designs often feature cute depictions of the year's Chinese zodiac animal.
Mm-hmm.
But making a snake cute is a challenge, resulting in an array of biologically inaccurate renderings.
Sure. Like what?
The legs.
A woman holds a cute snake there are lots of things here that go with photographs.
Yes.
There are snakes with long eyelashes, dewy anime-wide eyes, and even snakes with hands, all for the better of waving out a friendly greeting. Among all the Chinese zodiac, selling snake-related craftsmanship is one of the most difficult, said Liang, who added that the most difficult was the Year of the Rat. I can see that. Okay.
Oh, look at that. I'd just like to call myself out right now. I thought I had edited out some of the stuff. I did not. I apologize. Keep going.
This will be a 9-hour podcast.
Mm-hmm. So her 2-week pop-up stall is crammed with festive red and gold offerings, stuffed toy snakes, wall mm-hmm. hangings, plastic wind spinners, red pockets, door couplets featuring wishes for a new year, and the God of Good Fortune statues. Some parents would say, a Cantonese exclamation of dismay. I will not take snakes home, but I will tell them, these snakes aren't even real. You don't need to be scared.
As Uncle Roger would say, ayah.
Okay.
Anyway, that's how he says it. That's how they say it.
There was a customer waiting in line to pay for a $5 stuffed snake toy. I feel it looks pretty cute. I want to give it to my 9-year-old daughter as a gift. It's been a family tradition for me to give a toy that represents different Chinese zodiacs to my daughter each year. But still, they're not selling. They didn't sell very well because it was just too hard to make snakes cute.
Yeah.
Hard for artists to design snake-related products. And many of the snake-themed decorations don't even look like snakes.
So this is all about... just selling snakes to the snake strategies.
Snake merchandising 101.
Yes.
So yeah, there was one artist and designer who complained that some of the New Year's snakes are too over the top and they look almost alien-like. She
yeah.
said, I don't see why we can't embrace the characteristics of these animals.
Right.
Now they're stuck with a lot of...
She says, I'm grateful that clients are still willing to spend money at my booth. I don't have high expectations. I'm happy as long as everyone gets what they want to decorate their homes to celebrate the Lunar New Year. The happiness of life is not always about making tons of money. That's said by someone who's not making money.
Right.
It's about making our clients happy and that we stay healthy in the new year.
That's right.
That's someone that's like, taking a bath on this, aren't you?
And now they're wondering, how can we redress these snakes to make them look like something else?
My wife has hidden my shoelaces and my belt, and I'm going to remain healthy.
I'm going to try to make the best of this.
Exactly, yeah.
God damn it. Also, snakes. It's not as good as the rabbits as it was last year.
I know.
Interestingly enough, they made all their money back on the fetish ball later that year.
That's right.
But the French will be happy when it's Year of the Horse.
Yes.
Because then they got
oh,
them.
Boy.
They got
then
something.
They get to see them sexy horse parts.
That's right. Yep. That's right.
Mm-mm. It's not.
Where's Andrew Heaton for
these
jokes?
It's not a good. Yeah, I need all the horse jokes that I can get. I'm going to have to send that article to him.
Yeah.
And our final article. Is California Fire Chief saves Altadena homes from blaze with nothing but milk and a couple of beers.
Okay.
California fire chief single-handedly saved his brother's house and that of his neighbor, armed only with a carton of milk and a few beers, just like it said in the title of the thing.
Yes. Oh, well, the story sounds a lot like the headline.
Brian yes. Fennessy said that that was a first despite an almost 50-year career in firefighting. He wanted to challenge himself. He's like, you know, I could do all of this. He's like the Jackie Chan
well,
of firefighting.
Let's risk the house while I make a good story.
That's right. As soon as Fennessy heard about the Eaton fire springing in the canyon above Altadena, he was on his way to check on his brother, unable to get in contact with them. The fire chief was going to help if he could. But as he arrived in Altadena, he got the phone call he so desperately wanted, confirmation that his brother was dead. No, that's not right. Sorry. That his brother
you skipped the line.
Had safely evacuated. But he was already in the area, so he told KACB and CBS's 60 Minutes that he thought he might as well check on his brother's property, right? Passing building after building, either completely on fire or already burnt to the foundations, he found his brother's home unengulfed along with the neighbors. However, he soon saw that the gas meter at the back of the house had caught fire. That's never good.
No.
Nearby, there was a hose, but no water. I thought I'd check the refrigerator, and all that was in there was some milk and a couple of beers. So he went back out and kind of ran back there and cooled it all off and pulled it back a little bit. It wasn't completely out, so I wasn't sure if it was going to rekindle, but it was all I could do. Well, as it turned out, that was enough. And the two homes remained the only ones in the whole neighborhood not to be burnt down.
Milk and a couple of beers.
Milk and a couple of beers.
Yep.
This whole fire thing, there's so much to not like about this. My friend Amanda Wynn Lee and her husband Jason, their house burnt down. Mm-hmm. And we're going to do what we can to help them. They're appreciating that help. But I think the one thing that we can get from this is I hope there is studies being done right now of saying what houses didn't burn down.
Yeah.
And what's the difference between them and the other ones? Could it be the fuel around the houses? Mm-hmm. Or could it be that the way this house was built was different than others, so that they can truly, if we can't catch up with global warming and all of that, maybe at least we can figure out what they did and then build houses like that.
Yeah.
Or do property like that. That's my hope.
And hopefully they'll start bathing the forest.
Yes. Taking a forest bath.
Yep.
That's part number one. Take the forest bath.
That's right.
Usually I would do my Patreon thing now, but we don't need to do that.
That's right. We already
prematured it.
We did it already.
You premied it.
Yeah.
However, ring the bell and subscribe.
Bing, 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 bing.
Before you get any further.
Yep, that's right. Also, two beers in at weightlesspod.com is where you can email us. I'm looking at maybe putting the website in a different place. I've started working on it because I know that we are getting a certain amount every month through Patreon that I very much appreciated and is now within our goal.
Yay.
To where I can move it to maybe a place that has better analytics, that kind of thing. So that's what we're doing with the money that you give us.
Yay.
is
we're trying. We're not wasting it.
No.
We're not, you know, buying drinks with it.
I was going to use it originally to pay our friend Jessica for doing last year's. The money that I saved up over last year, I was going to pay to Jessica, and she goes, "Dad, don't worry about it."
Oh.
Yeah. So I paid domain instead.
Okay.
I made sure.
Jessica gets a free Patreon.
Our friend Jessica Calvello, Hanji herself,
yes,
is my friend. She's our friend. She's crazy. She knows that. It's not like I can say that and worry she's going to be mad at me. She's going to be like, yep.
It was nice knowing you, Brett.
Oh, God. So, for our final song, Monica picked next episode's song. So,
yes.
I picked this one. I'm trying to remember what it was. It's by a band called Wolfpack, and I think I've played it before because there's like a group of musicians that I like their songs outside and also within the group.
Okay.
And this one's called Darwin's. I can't
Mistake.
Remember. No, it's like Darwin's. It'll be in the name. The singing will happen. Okay. So it'll be fine.
We're professionals.
Well, music works that way.
Yep. We'll put it right
There's
in there.
There's an intro and then
you know,
the
Doug,
singing will
I'm
happen.
Doing pretty good right now with the episode, the way I'm doing it. Don't shit on me. I have been
what
your
Doug
host.
What Doug really wants to do is direct.
Yes. I have been one of your hosts, Brett Weaver. I've been enjoying a coconut frozen mojito in what looks like an icy cup.
I'm your co-host, Monica Ballard, enjoying the same marvelous beverage.
Wow. And thank you, Doug, for being here. What have you drank?
A Little Red Corvette.
Yes. And we are appreciative of you being here, Doug.
Yay.
And all of you that are listening.
Yay.
I'm going to push the button.
Push the button, buddy.
Talk to you next week.
Bye.
Bye. Have teeth. The shark has teeth to eat.
I see.
And why does a whale have feet? But I don't know.
Everyone.